Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
So this morning I wanted to share a word that is really a teaching word, and I hope that it's going to give some background and some leverage to who we are as a church here at C3. And we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, and I know that we had Pastor Andrew here a couple of weeks ago ministering. Was that fun? How many people were freaked out a little bit? You don't have to raise your hand, but you can kind of just inwardly nod. We talk about the Holy Spirit a lot, so I thought it would be really great to just kind of go back to the beginning and teach on who is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Ghost? Why are we a church that talks about Him so much and talks about His gifts and moves in His power? I know for many of you it may seem like a foreign concept. You're not used to going to churches where things happen like they happen at C3 Church. And so I thought, well, what a great day to teach on it. So I'm going to start by just praying. I'd love it if you just close your eyes and just lift your hands. Father, we come to you today, God, with an open heart to hear the words that you want to bring to your kids. We know that there is something that you want to say to us today. Father, I pray that you will open the ears and open the hearts of every listener today. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're our helper, that you're our comforter, that you're our guide. And I pray that you minister to these precious people that you love so much in this service this morning, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I want to talk on the Holy Spirit, who he is, the role that he has in every believer's life. I'm sure all of you know or have heard of the Trinity. God in three persons. And many of us are familiar with Jesus. We're familiar with God the Father, but we're not quite sure who this Holy Ghost is. And some of us would say, well, he's a mist. No, actually, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a spirit being. You can't see him, but you can definitely feel his presence, and you can see the fruit or the evidence of his presence manifest in certain ways. And so today we're going to just take a look at that, and I want to also share some experiences about what the Holy Spirit has done in my life. So the first scripture I want to read is in John chapter number 16, verse 7, and this is Jesus speaking. And whenever Jesus is speaking, it's worth paying attention. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." I mean, can you even believe Jesus is saying this? Jesus was Jesus. Look at all the cool stuff he did. And yet he's sitting with his disciples and he said, "You know what? It's for the best that I go away." Already, that is a mic drop statement. Oh my gosh, you are that legit, Jesus. You are that amazing, but you're saying it's best that I exit the earth because somebody else is going to come in my place. For if I do not go away, the helper, somebody say the helper, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So what is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in a nutshell, my friends? He is our helper. He is our helper. He is our advocate. He comes and he lives on the inside of us to dwell with us, to come alongside us to help. Thank God. How many people in the room here today have said, "I need help"? Well, God answered your question before you asked it. He sent a helper to guide us in this thing called life and to help us work out this thing called being a Christian. So I want to list six ways, I believe it's six, ways that the Holy Spirit reveals himself in our lives. So when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit enters your heart. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in your heart. The Bible tells us that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Prior to you receiving salvation, the Holy Spirit is working toward your salvation. He's setting up all kinds of incidents. He's getting the evangelist in your life to come and bash you over the head with a Bible and tell you why you need to be saved. He's making all that stuff happen because his goal before you're a Christian is to get you to become a Christian. And once you become a Christian, there's like a breath that enters your body, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is he changes us. And how many people say a good old amen to that? I know I do. So the Holy Spirit enters the life of a repentant believer, and then he transforms us into the person that we were always intended to be. God's perfect model of who he created you to be. The Bible says this in John 3, chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. It says, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." That sounds terribly uncomfortable. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again." So when the Spirit enters you, your spirit comes alive. You are three parts. You are body. You are soul, that emotional realm, that feelings realm, that part of you that makes you want to punch other people in the face. And then you are spirit. And your spirit is longing to be reunited with the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God enters your life and he changes you from the inside out. And the Bible says that there is an evidence of the fact that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. You start to live different. The Holy Spirit changes you. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, that there is fruit or evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you're operating in those things, it's evident that the Holy Spirit is changing you from the inside out. Prior to that, you may have been led into anger, into control, into insecurity, into rage, into lust, into all these derogatory, dysfunctional characteristics. But when the Holy Spirit enters you, you're changed. You know, the biggest thing that the enemy will do will try to convince you that you're not changed when you are. You know, when I was a new Christian, I got married, got saved at 13 or so, and got married at 17, not too long after that. So the Holy Spirit was at work changing my life. But how many people know that it's a process? It takes time for your mind and your emotions to catch up with what has happened in your spirit. And so in the beginning of my married life, I could be described as what would be called like one of the psycho wives. Like I like to make my husband's life miserable and point out every little kind of nitpicky thing and argue just for argument's sake. And man, like it got to the point in the first year of my marriage to Pastor Jürgen where we just about despised each other. And I remember thinking, well, this is just who I am. I am woman, hear me roar. I am, you know, I am a bold, you know, kind of, you know, like I'm not gonna let things lie. I have dignity. I am gonna argue. I'm gonna fight for my... And how many people know that is just the worst way to make a marriage work? Fighting for yourself the whole time. And so that's where I found myself. And I would find in situations where Jürgen and I would argue that I would just lose my cool all the time to the point where it was like he just didn't want to be around me anymore. And I remember being so down on myself, but believing the lie that this is who I was. I was a strong woman, and I had come from a line of strong women. I had 4 sisters, no brothers, a very strong, feisty mother, and I thought, this is just who I am. And I remember the Holy Spirit coming to me and saying to me, "Leanne, you're not a psycho. You're actually a woman who has the seeds of gentleness and self-control and patience on the inside of you." Sometimes we have to be reminded of what we already have. sometimes the devil will try to sell you a whammy and tell you, well, you're always going to be angry. You're always going to be impatient. You're always going to be fearful. You're always going to be anxious. You're always going to lose your cool every time something doesn't go your way. But it's a lie. When the Holy Spirit moves into your life, He changes you. And I thank God, just as Pastor Jürgen does, that God was able to do a transformation in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. He changes us. I may have been psycho. I may have been an arguer. I may have made my husband's life miserable, but then when the Holy Spirit moved into my life, I was cleansed and I became a new creation. Don't let the devil put a label on you and try to convince you of what you aren't. You're not that way anymore. Start to shift what you believe about yourself, because God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, our helper, has changed you. You may not see the evidence of those fruits in your life yet, but remind yourself, those seeds are in me. The seeds of love. Not the seeds of hatred, the seeds of love are on the inside of me. Not the seeds of impatience, where I feel like I want to rear end every bad driver on the freeway. I have got the seeds of patience. I can drive without losing my cool, beeping my horn and giving other people the bird as I drive to work. I am not who I used to be. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, because the Holy Spirit changes us. Can somebody say amen? All right, one clap, we're getting there, all right. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is He fills us with power. And many of you saw a manifestation of that power when Pastor Andrew came a couple of weeks ago. And so there is a wrong theory and a lie that has got attraction out there in a lot of churches, that the Christian life is not powerful anymore. It used to be back in Jesus's day, but then when Jesus left, all the power stopped. He took the power to heaven. But let me remind you again of what Jesus said. I must go so I can send the helper to you. And in fact, this is what Jesus said in the book of Luke. And now I will send the Holy Spirit. This is Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with, somebody say it,
power
from heaven. Is the Christian life powerless? Do you just have to get really patient at things never going your way and just hope that someone in the church will give you a casserole? No. The Holy Spirit has empowered you to live a life of power. Wherever the Spirit goes, He empowers us to help one another with the gifts He has given us. So not only does the Holy Ghost, when He turns up into your life, change you and turn up with a fruit basket, the fruits of the Spirit, He comes with gifts. I mean, what a helper. I got friends that don't do that. They come over to my house, they don't bring squat, nothing except their appetites. The Holy Spirit moves in. Not only does He bring fruits that'll make your life better and make people like you, He brings gifts. What a God. What a God. The Holy Spirit is amazing. All right. It says this in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11. Now I realize there are a lot of people here and you don't know any of this stuff. Well, that's why I'm glad you're here today. It says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Verse number 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Put your hand up if you're an each of us. You're part of the human race. Most of you, about 4 or 5, are aliens from another planet. Trust me, I'm going to be here a long time. And at some point, I'm going to get you to lift your hand. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. I'm going to take that one. Thank you, Lord. To another, the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives a message of special knowledge. Are you guys seeing this stuff in church? I tell you, I'd like to see it more. Because I think we've forgotten that the Holy Spirit doesn't just come with fruits, he comes with gifts. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. How is your life going to be changed? How is your family going to get saved? How are you going to get that house after you've come through a lineage of poverty and only ever known what it means to rent a property? Through the gift of faith that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. And to someone else, the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives the gift of healing. And we saw that when Pastor Andrew came a couple of weeks ago. I wonder what gifts the Holy Spirit has given you that are laying dormant in your life. I wonder if you need to go home and ask him, Holy Ghost, which one or which few, or maybe he's given you all of them. Maybe you hit the literal jackpot and you got each and every single one of them. He gives one person the power to perform miracles. This is amazing. Oh, I think it's just so sad that we can sit in church and not see miracles. And I'm sick of hearing people tell me stories about all the incredible things they're seeing in Africa. And I'm like, well, can't God do it in America? Can't he open blind eyes and can't we see the dead raised and the sick, the terminally ill, healed? Can't we see those who have been oppressed by ill spirits who are living tormented set free? Oh, how sad if we were a powerless church that did not read our Bibles properly and understand that the Holy Spirit has been sent to us to give us gifts. The ability to prophesy. And Pastor Michael talked about the prophetic this morning, where I gave him a word and he said that word is like a target. And God will send prophets amongst us to bring a word of encouragement, to put courage on the inside of us, but also to give us a blueprint of what is possible. So you're going to find in this church, in Connect Group, not just from the platform, but out in that foyer, under that tent, that people are going to prophesy courage and life into you, because it's one of the gifts that God gives his kids. What's next? He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Oh, this is important. So basically what that's saying is the Holy Spirit gives some people the ability to be able to discern rightly between the truth and a lie. So we don't become a victim to what sounds right. And isn't there a whole lot of stuff out there right now that sounds right? Ooh, that sounds right. Marriage equality, that sounds right. I want all marriages to be equal. Until you realize that God has given some a spirit to discern, that's not what this is about. Marriage equality is a Trojan horse in order for the enemy to pull down the fabric of every society. And that is a marriage that is centered around a family, a man, a wife, and children. So the Holy Spirit gives a gift of discernment. Ooh, I tell you what, it sounds right, but I see through your facade. And I'm going to call you out on that. And I'm actually going to say, this is the truth. We need that one. We need that one right now, because we're in a culture that are very good with words. They're crafty little wordsmiths. Ooh. Love wins. Oh, really? Yes, it does, but I don't think in the way that you're saying it. I think the inference you're talking about here is not that love wins, but that lust and perversion wins. So, and again, I'm not trying to fight any imaginary battles, but I just will not talk in riddles. I'm just going to say it as it is. And it's okay. I don't need applause. And I don't mean to certainly offend anyone who is struggling here today. However, we do live in a world that is very, very aggressive in putting forth their agenda. And we absolutely need to come against the lies of the enemy that keep people in bondage. Why do we talk about this stuff? Because we care about people. Not because we like being right. I could care less about being right. I want you to live the absolute best life in complete freedom that Jesus died for you to have. And I mean, sometimes you're going to hear some things that are uncomfortable in church. But I know you're okay with that. Still another person, he gives the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes all these gifts, and he alone decides which gift each person should have. Isn't that beautiful? So I would say to you today, I want you to go home, after service, of course, not right now, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what gift did you give me? And here's the encouragement I want to give you. Don't leave it unopened. Because the Bible says that that gift was given to you for the benefit of all. It's not just for you to prophesy over your own self. It's for you to get out there and bring a word of prophetic encouragement to the people around you. It's not just to perform miracles in your own body, but to pray for the sick, to cast out demons, to bring a miracle into somebody else's life. Don't get to heaven with your Holy Ghost gift unopened. You'll look like a nitwit. You'll get up there holding your gift and God will be like, what in the world? That wasn't for up here. It's perfect up here. We don't need miracles and prophecies and tongues and discernment of spirits up here. It's perfect up there. I gave it to you for down there. You were meant to use it on earth. Your neighbor needed your gift of miracles and you didn't open it, you silly duffer. And I apologize if that's not an American word that's okay. Is it okay? Good. It's Australian. It just means you silly Billy, all right? You know what I'm sick of hearing? And I'm not a hypey person. I am absolutely not. And that's why I wanted to bring this word to you today, because I realize we can talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, but I want you to know the why behind the what. I want you to have a deep understanding of why God does the things the way he does and who the Holy Spirit is. But here's one thing that I really don't like hearing, and I hear it a lot. I don't want church to be weird. And here's why that bothers me. It's not that I think we should be snake handling and swinging from the chandeliers by any means. However, I do feel that the modern day church is so not in danger of being weird that we've become so normal that we've become irrelevant. We've become powerless. So we come to church and we're not changed. Then by all means, if you come to church and aren't changed, find another church or stay home and watch the World Cup. Because that's not a true representation of what the church is meant to be. The church is meant to be a place where the unusual happens. The church is the gate of heaven. So what we see here in this building should be a representation of what heaven looks like, not just more of what the world has to offer. And I wonder if these people who are like, we don't want the church to be weird, have actually ever taken the time to discover what the term weird means. I have, and I'm going to tell you. The definition of weird is uncanny, unnatural, supernatural, unearthly, otherworldly, ghostly, some would say holy ghostly, mysterious, strange, abnormal, and unusual. And I don't know about you, but I don't want more of what the world has to offer. Predictable, normal, usual. I want something supernatural. I want something otherworldly. I want God to enter my life in a way that the world can't. I wanted him to do things for me and my family and my friends and you all, our church family, that aren't happening in our 24/7. I don't want church to be weird. Well, I don't want church to be boring and irrelevant. So what happens when your desire for church not to be weird collides with my desire for church to be awesome and magnificent? Guess what? I'm going to win because I'm the senior pastor alongside my husband. So this is what it's going to look like. And let me tell you, here's what happens when the church backs up from its mandate of being Holy Spirit led and operating in the biblical gifts. The world steps up. The enemy steps up. Oh, he is more than happy to fill the void with demonic supernatural activity. Oh, and get you reading your palms and getting a curse spoken over your life by some kind of soothsayer or tarot card reader. He's more than happy for you to step up for him. He's happy to step in and fill that void by getting you to read your horoscope in the newspaper. bring curses over your life instead of getting a hold of the word of God and prophesying this life into your body. I'm telling you, the church can't back up from these things because there is a world out there that needs to know God is real and his power can transform their lives. We are a church that moves in the power of the Holy Spirit because that's what the world needs. And it is a true representation of the gospel. What else do I want to tell you about that? If we're honest, we'll admit that many churches have become so weak, so timid, and so compromised that they don't even remotely resemble the powerful church that we see in this Bible. And that's not okay with me. It's just not. You know, I'm not trying to add anything to the Bible, but I certainly want to live and experience everything it talks about. And like I said before, I'm sick and tired of hearing about miracles happening in other countries and other places and not experiencing them in my own life. So I thank God that the Holy Spirit came and he empowers us. If you're a Christian, you're not powerless. You are powerful when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. Go home and have a conversation with him and say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the gifts that you've given me and help me operate in them for the benefit of others with boldness and courage in Jesus' name. Okay, you ready for some more?
Yeah.
All right. Quality number three, the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know what the word intercessor means? It means that the Holy Spirit is praying for you.
Amen.
You might say, nobody prayed for me. Nobody ever prays for me. The Holy Ghost is praying for you.
Yeah.
That's like the trump card.
Yeah.
That is amazing. You could want no one better praying for you than the Holy Spirit himself. And not only does he pray for you, he prays through you for others. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 28, the Spirit helps us, because he's our helper, in our weaknesses. We don't know what to pray, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. God is fighting for you. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit is interceding for you. He is your advocate. In other words, when you sin, when you muck up, the Holy Ghost gets before the Father and says, oh, look, I believe in him. Come on, let's keep encouraging, putting courage in there. They're going to make it. They're going to come through. They're going to be strong. They're going to be valiant. Together, we're going to beat this thing. They're going to be overcomers. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you. I remember a particular time in my life where we had just bought a new puppy, a little Shetland sheepdog puppy, and he's as cute as anything. His name is Laddie because he's from Scotland. So I felt like I needed to give him a name according to his heritage. And he was just a little puppy, and we put him in this cage, but he was so little at that time that I didn't realize he could kind of weasel his way out. So I put him in his little cage, and I went off to do some grocery shopping. And on the way to the supermarket, all of a sudden, I just had this urge to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues. So I started to pray in the Spirit, and I was getting some traction. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is helping somebody. I don't know who. Anyway, I went and did my groceries and I came home and I went into the backyard and I could not see my dog anywhere. And I have actually been challenged by the Lord to love people as much as I love animals. So when I could not find my dog, I was freaking out. I'm looking everywhere. Where is he? Where is he? And couldn't find him anywhere. All of a sudden, I look in my swimming pool. At the end of the pool, stuck in the filter, was my little Shetland sheepdog with his head barely above water, breathing. And I was able to pull him out, wrap him in a towel, completely fine. I'm telling you right now, I was interceding for the life of my dog. You think God doesn't care about animals? He does. I can guarantee you, if I had have resisted God's prompting to pray in the Spirit and let the Spirit intercede through me, I would have come home to a dead dog and very disappointed children. God is working on your behalf. And you might say, well, it's just an animal. Well, let me tell you a story about a person. My mum, who is going to be here at this campus next week, who was miraculously healed of a heart condition, I believe Pastor Michael and Lisa are going to interview her. She's going to share her story and put faith in you for your own breakthrough. Anyway, my sister, my middle child sister, somebody say the middle child. Okay, she was a bit of a rat bag. She would be what the world would say is the black sheep of the family. So she got a scholarship to study at college in Florida, and she went away, and it was, you know, her opportunity to do everything that she knew she shouldn't do. Okay, so she ends up starting in Florida, but then ends up in Colombia, okay? And she's in this situation where she's drunk so much that she can barely function. And it was the middle of the night in Australia where my parents were living, and it was, I'm not sure what time of the day where she was in Colombia. And she had taken a ride to get home with a stranger in Colombia. I mean, the stupidity is mind-boggling. However, drunk people don't do smart things. So she jumped in a car with a stranger, and as they were driving away, this man turned to her and said, you know, I could do anything I want to you and nobody would hear you scream. In fact, you know, like, and then went on to describe to her what he was about to do to her. With that, she opened the door, kind of jumped out and rolled into like the jungle forest. I mean, it sounds like a movie. And was running, and he was running after her and shouting threats and saying, this is what I'm going to do to you when I catch you. Anyway, she comes up and lands on another road. And my mother and father at that same time in Australia, my dad wakes up, like wide awake in bed. It's about 3 a.m. And all of a sudden, he starts to pray in the spirit for my sister. He doesn't know what's happening. He thinks she's safe in Florida. He thinks nothing's going on. But lo and behold, she was in this situation. So he prays and prays and prays and prays until peace comes. Little did he know, he was praying for the life of my sister, who was in Colombia and shouldn't be. She ends up finding her way onto another road while she's still being pursued. She's in Colombia, okay, where they don't speak English. A truck is coming. She stops and puts her hands up like this. The driver yells out the window in English, hey, are you okay? Can I help you? She said no, jumped in the car, and he took her back to her place of residence and stayed with her the entire night. I reckon she had a visitation of an angel because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Why would you want to think that the Holy Spirit is a mist? Why would you not think that he's actually like a person that God sent to help you? You may not be able to see him, but you can see the fruit of his presence in your life if you invite him in. Benny Hinn wrote a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I would encourage you to get a hold of that to learn more about this third person of the Trinity and the great power that he represents for you and I as believers. The Holy Spirit is our intercessor. The Holy Spirit is our liberator. How are we going for time? Okay, we've got 10 minutes. When the Holy Spirit is present, freedom follows. Freedom from torment, freedom from lies, freedom from illness, and freedom from everything that oppresses us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty, there is freedom. That means if you are being tormented by anything in your mind, in your body, invite the Holy Spirit in to take care of business. And we have read in the book of Luke about the story of the man who was so demon-possessed from Gadarenes that he lived amongst the graveyards and cut himself with stones. And haven't we seen a resurgence of cutting in the young people in our society? What is cutting? It's the presence of an ill spirit in somebody's life. And here's what the Bible says, that Jesus has given us all authority over the power of the enemy. If you're living with torment, you don't have to live with that anymore. Invite the Holy Spirit to take care of that ill spirit and evict it from your life. So when Jesus encounters the man from Gadarenes who was so full of demons and ill spirits that he was cutting himself and living amongst the graves, that spirit, when it met the Holy Spirit, when it met the spirit of liberation, could not stay. Because an evil spirit and the Holy Spirit cannot exist in the same place at the same time. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is always the one who rises to the top. So you'll find that if you have an ill spirit, either you'll deal with it, let the Holy Spirit deal with it when you come into encounter with him, or you'll run away. It's the two things. Either you'll stay and have courage, and you'll let the Holy Spirit take care of that ill spirit that has been tormenting you, or you'll say, I'm never going back to that church again. I don't like that church, gave me a bad feeling. No, it's the demon inside you that has a bad feeling, and God wants to take care of that. And I don't say that without compassion. And I realize I said that with aggression, but spirits are aggressive, and you've got to have some authority when you speak back at them. And I do feel I'm speaking to somebody here today, and you're agitated on the inside, and it's not this church, it's a demon on the inside of you that God wants to release you from. He wants to set you free. It's an ill spirit, because the Holy Ghost is a liberator. And I can tell you from personal experience, because he liberated me. I suffered terribly from a spirit of rejection. When I was in my mother's womb, the doctors spoke over a word over my life that I was not only going to die in the womb, but she needed to abort me. Wow. My mother is a woman of faith. And so she's like, that was a short conversation. She's like, I don't care. This is my baby. I'm not aborting my baby. But they were consistently on her, abort, 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 abort. And so for some reason, you know, even as a young child, I always felt like I didn't belong. It was funny, I would walk into rooms and I would anticipate rejection. I would anticipate people not liking me, people not wanting to talk to me, people not thinking that I was worth their time. And so, you know what? If you're looking for rejection, you'll find it. Because there's always some moron who is willing to amen in the spirit what God is, you know, wanting to point out in you. Or what the Holy Spirit, what the enemy is trying to stir up on the inside of you. Yeah. So it wasn't until I kind of thought, man, as I look back over my life and I look at all the things, it can't be everyone else. Wow. It's got to be me. Yeah. Because there's no way on God's green earth that everywhere I go, I get rejected is always the people I'm around. Wow. It's got to be an ill spirit within me. Yeah. So I had a conversation with someone one day who was well-versed on these things, and they identified it, this is what it is. And they literally prayed and invited the Holy Spirit to come in and evict that ill spirit and fill my heart with the understanding that I was loved and I was accepted, and it changed my life. And I no longer walked into rooms and felt rejection anymore. Even if people didn't talk to me, I was like, I know who I am. I'm God's kid. And I actually don't need to be affirmed or accepted by man in order to have a revelation of that, because I'd been set free. The Holy Spirit is our liberator. He comes to deliver us and set us free. And I hear the music, so I'll keep on talking. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. I thank God for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You know, in this life, we'll walk through difficult times. We will walk through trial and loss and devastating things. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has been sent to comfort us. So there will be times where you feel alone, but I want to encourage you. You've never spent an alone moment in your entire life. The Bible says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Your friends may walk out the door. Your parents may not acknowledge you. They may disown you, but the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And when you need comfort, He is there. And there have been times where I felt so alone, so terribly alone. And all I've said is, Holy Spirit, I know You're here. Minister to me. Show me You love me. Fill me with Your peace. Take away this pain, this anxiety. You know what He does? He's faithful. And He'll come and He'll bring comfort. Sometimes we don't always get rescued from the fires that we're thrown into. But He will be with us in the midst of the fire and bring us throughout, bring us out the other side with not even the smell of smoke on us. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He's your comforter today. And the Bible says that He also comforts us by bringing into our remembrance everything that God has said. And sometimes when we're in our most distressed and overwhelmed states, we tend to forget what God has spoken over our lives. But the Bible says that the comforter comes and He reminds us, Leanne, you're not rejected, you're accepted. Leanne, I know you're walking through a tough time with your son and it feels like your mother's heart has been so stretched that it's going to break, but I want to remind you of what the Word says. The Word says, all your children shall be taught of the Lord and great shall be the peace of your children. Maybe when I feel alone, I feel rejected, I feel like I don't belong, He will remind me, Leanne, you're not alone because I'm here And I am the friend that sticks closer than a brother. The comforter will come and remind you the truth of what God has said about your life and the lives of those around you. And then finally, and I'm sure that there's plenty more, but we're going to stop here. The Holy Spirit is our convictor. The Holy Spirit challenges us. I remember the last time I moved house, and as we were moving, we were replacing the fridge, the refrigerator in the home. Our home was going to become a rental property, and we needed to put a new fridge in. And when we removed the old fridge, oh dear God, what was on the floor? I mean, ew. Disgusting. Like old peanut shells and like an inch of grime and dust and dirt and dead bugs and lost hairbands. And like, I swear there was like, you know, Blackbeard's treasure under there and a whole myriad of things. And it reminded me of the work that the Holy Spirit does in our life when He convicts. I mean, sometimes we can put our facade on and turn into church and we got our big old Bible and our What Would Jesus Do bracelet and the fish sticker on our car and try to project the fact that we got everything together. But the Holy Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves. Psalm 139 says that He is acquainted with all our ways, not just our good ones, but our not so good ones too. And often in church, we can try to do a really good job at masquerading the truth about our life. But the Holy Ghost knows you. He already knows it's there. Why would you try to hide it? He sees it. He sees what's under the fridge. Yeah. So I would say, let the Holy Ghost get under your fridge and clean out the muck and the grime and the grit and actually continue to change you into the person that you're always meant to be. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that we are to come to God, come to Him, repentant, asking Him to change us, and that He will cleanse us, and times of refreshing will come from the Lord. So repentance, coming to the Lord when the Holy Spirit convicts us, is not about God grinding our face in our mistakes. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts not because He wants to shame us, but because He wants to help us. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. He wants to help you. And so He'll help you sometimes by convicting you in areas of sin that you've been living with for a really long time, or patterns that you've gotten used to. And He's saying, son, daughter, that stuff's going to mess you up. I want you to surrender it to Me. I reckon we could become all really good students of the Holy Ghost if we prayed the prayer that King David prayed in Psalm 139. Oh God, search me and know me. Test my every anxious thought. See that there be no wicked way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The Holy Spirit is our convictor, not because He wants to shame us, but because He loves us and He wants to help us.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.